It's Friday, November 7, 2014. I'm Albert Moeller, and this is The Briefing, a daily analysis of news and events from a Christian worldview. As it turns out, this is going to be one of the most consequential weeks in recent memory, not only with the election taking place on Tuesday, but with what happened yesterday, late yesterday, at the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, where a panel of three judges decisively upheld state bans on same-sex marriage in four states. The states are Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee. And the actual decision, the majority opinion handed down by this panel, is breathtaking in its confrontation with the general trajectory of recent years in the courts toward the legalization of same-sex marriage. The bottom line in terms of the decision handed down by this panel, in the first place, this is an issue that should be decided by the people through the democratic process, not by the courts. That is, explicitly not by judges. And secondly, if indeed the society says that its rational basis for defining marriage as the union of a man and a woman has to do with the stability of society, has to do with the venerable nature of marriage, it has to do with the importance of reproduction and procreation, then that is indeed a rational basis, and the law should stand rather than to be struck down. This very important decision handed down yesterday came from a three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. In this case, the three judges split 2-1. On one side, you had Judges Jeffrey Sutton and Rebecca Cook, and on the other side, Judge Martha Craig. Both Judges Sutton and Cook upheld these states and their bans on same-sex marriage. Dissenting from the other two was Judge Martha Craig. She basically sided with the direction taken by other of the appellate courts in the nation that has struck down these bans on the legalization of same-sex marriage. The majority opinion in this case was written by Judge Sutton, and he is known in legal circles for extremely elegant opinions. And yesterday's opinion is indeed eloquent. It's eloquent, and furthermore, it's really important. In the first place, his opinion includes a very rare statement of judicial humility. What is the role of a federal judge? In this case, Judge Sutton says it is not to decide for the people what the people can well decide for themselves. In his opinion, he wrote, quote, "Of all the ways to resolve this question, one option is not available. A poll of the three judges on this panel, or for that matter, all federal judges, about whether gay marriage is a good idea." He went on to say, "Our judicial commissions did not come with such a sweeping grant of authority, one that would allow just three of us, just two of us in truth, to make such a vital policy call for the 32 million citizens who live within the four states of the Sixth Circuit, Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee." He went on to say, "What we have authority to decide instead is a legal question. Does the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution prohibit a state from defining marriage as the relationship between one man and one woman?" By the time you read very far into the opinion, it is clear that this panel has decided that the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution does indeed not prohibit a state from defining marriage as the relationship, as exclusively the relationship between a man and a woman. In his very careful argument, Judge Sutton goes back to the year 1972 when the United States Supreme Court refused to take a same-sex marriage case. In that particular case, in 1972, the Supreme Court of the United States was asked to take a case in which the Supreme Court of the state of Minnesota had ruled that there was no constitutional right for a same-sex couple to be married. When the court decided not to take that case back in 1972, it did what it does not always do. It explained why it was not taking the case. That was back in 1972. Back in that statement, the court said that the claim that was made by the same-sex couple did not raise, quote, "a substantial federal question," end quote. In other words, back in 1972, the Supreme Court of the United States, faced with the very same kind of case that the Sixth Circuit was just now considering, said that the issues involved in that case did not raise, quote, "a substantial federal question," end quote. In other words, it was not the business of the federal courts. But some will say the times have changed, and Judge Sutton addresses that issue squarely. He writes, "But that was then, this is now, and now, claimants insist, must account for United States v. Windsor." That was the 2013 case, we note, in which the Supreme Court of the United States struck down the Defense of Marriage Act. Judge Sutton says, "Yet Windsor does not answer today's question. The decision never mentions Baker, much less overrules it, and the outcomes of the cases do not clash." Judge Sutton also took seriously the claim that was made by the plaintiffs in this case that there were so-called, quote, "doctrinal developments in the law" that would suggest that the Sixth Circuit would have to come to a similar conclusion as the Supreme Court did in the Windsor case. Judge Sutton said there were no such doctrinal developments that would necessitate such a pattern. As Judge Sutton said in the beginning of his opinion, the key legal question, the central constitutional question before his court, was whether or not the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution would render restrictions on same-sex marriage to be unconstitutional and thus unlawful. In answer to that, he points out that the key issue here is how did the framers of that language in the Constitution actually mean for it to be interpreted? As he said, any faithful kind of interpreter of a document has to ask that question. And if you do ask the question, that is, what did the framers of this language mean, as he writes, quote, nobody in this case, however, argues that the people who adopted the 14th Amendment understood it to require the states to change the definition of marriage, end quote. Furthermore, he points out that the Supreme Court of the United States has been employing this very form of logic. He points to the decision handed down last term in the case Town of Greece v. Galloway, in which the Supreme Court majority ruled that the state of Greece, New York, had the right to begin its town council meetings with prayer because it is not constitutionally or logically sane to suggest that the framers of the U.S. Constitution, in this case its First Amendment, had in mind eliminating that very practice when they followed it themselves. That's the kind of reasonable common sense that you would expect not only a lawyer, not only a judge, but any intelligent person to follow. And speaking of judicial humility, here's one of the most important statements written by a federal judge I have seen in many, many years. Judge Sutton writes, and I quote, "A dose of humility makes us hesitant to condemn as unconstitutionally irrational a view of marriage shared not long ago by every society in the world, shared by most, if not all, of our ancestors, and shared still today by a significant number of the states," end quote. That's an amazing sentence. It bears repeating. Here you have a federal judge writing of the humility that should mark the judiciary, certainly in dealing with something as fundamental as marriage, and, as Judge Sutton does not explicitly state, recognizing that marriage is a pre-political institution. The responsibility of government is not to create marriage. It doesn't have that authority, but rather to recognize what already exists. That's what we mean when we state that marriage is a pre-political institution. He said again, a dose of humility makes us hesitant to condemn as unconstitutionally irrational. That's the claim being made by those who are making the assertion that the U.S. Constitution would invalidate any law against same-sex marriage. He says a dose of humility would lead the court to be very, very reluctant to claim that all of our ancestors are irrational. And furthermore, that most of the people living on the planet defining marriage as exclusively the union of a man and a woman are operating out of an unconstitutionally irrational view. Brilliantly, Judge Sutton then turns the arguments of the plaintiffs on themselves when he writes, and I quote, "If it is constitutionally irrational to stand by the man-woman definition of marriage, it must be constitutionally irrational to stand by the monogamous definition of marriage. Plaintiffs have no answer to the point. What they might say, they cannot. They might say that tradition or community mores provide a rational basis for states to stand by the monogamy definition of marriage. But they cannot say that because that is exactly what they claim is illegitimate about the state's male-female definition of marriage." The predicament, writes Judge Sutton, does not end there. No state, he writes, is free of marriage policies that go too far in some directions and not far enough in others, making all of them vulnerable if the claimant's theory of rational base review prevails, end quote. In other words, as he says, if those who are pushing for the legalization of same-sex marriage have their way with their own logic, there is no end to the dissolution of the institution of marriage that will inevitably result. From this point, Judge Sutton's opinion just grows even more significant, even more important in the insights he makes very explicit in his eloquent prose. One of the arguments now being put forward for why same-sex marriage is both constitutional and inevitable is that there has been an evolution in the moral values of the society. By the way, no one contests the fact that that kind of moral evolution is taking place. Indeed, many would argue, and I among them, that what we're really looking at here is not just moral evolution, but moral revolution. But when Judge Sutton takes on this question, he understands that this argument actually is one that illustrates the very problem with the claims being made by the proponents of same-sex marriage. In particular, he argues that if indeed society is evolving in terms of its moral judgment on these questions, then why not leave it to the society to evolve? He points to the central predicament, the irrationality, the contradiction of those who claim society is evolving and everybody wants the legalization of same-sex marriage. Therefore, we must have the courts do it because the people won't do it. In other words, you can't argue it both ways. You can't argue that this is what the people want, but we have to ask the courts to intervene because the people won't vote for it. In another absolutely stellar sentence, Judge Sutton gets to this point. He writes, quote, a principal jurisprudence of constitutional evolution turns on evolution in society's values, not evolution in judges' values, end quote. In other words, he turns it right on them, saying, if indeed society's evolving, then trust society to get there. But if society's not evolving, you can't claim that society is in order to argue for the righteousness and rightness of your claim. He follows that blockbuster of a sentence with another, quote, the theory of the living constitution rests on the premise that every generation has the right to govern itself. If that premise prevents judges from insisting on principles that society has moved past, so too should it prevent judges from anticipating principles that society has yet to embrace, end quote. The opinion from Judge Sutton is worth reading simply because of its breathtaking common sense, the exact kind of common sense that has been so absent from so many previous federal court decisions on one of the most basic institutions of human existence, that central molecular institution of human society, marriage. Tying this right to marriage and bringing his legal argument to a conclusion, he writes, if before a new consensus has emerged on a social issue, federal judges may decide when the time is ripe to recognize a new constitutional right. Listen clearly to his next words. He writes, quote, surely the people should receive some deference in deciding when the time is ripe to move from one picture of marriage to another, end quote. That statement is eloquent, it is brilliant, and it is basic. It's absolutely basic, not just to how you would think the federal court should operate, but to how democracy should honor and respect, should give deference to, the decisions made by citizens through the democratic process. The judicial usurpation of the political project is exactly what's been going on in the federal government for the last generation and more. The push to legalize same-sex marriage through the courts is an extension of that problem. Judge Sutton's opinion arrives just in time to confront that very trend in terms of the federal courts that he exposes as being so weak in constitutional judgment. So where do we go from here? Let's just look at the picture as it now stands. The world has changed almost overnight. As of yesterday morning, not one federal circuit appellate court had decided to uphold even one state constitutional ban on same-sex marriage, even one state law that upheld traditional marriage. But now, everything's different. As of yesterday, there is a split in the U.S. circuits, that is, in the appellate courts. And what now happens is that the Supreme Court of the United States, that decided early in October it wasn't going to take this issue, it now faces a situation from which it has no retreat and no escape. It will either take on this issue, it can't avoid it anymore, or, on the other hand, it will abdicate its constitutional and moral authority within our nation's political order. That's something you cannot expect the Supreme Court will do. What you now must expect is that in fairly short order, the Supreme Court is going to have to take up this question, it's going to have to schedule oral arguments, and it's going to have to race towards a decision. Given the highest court's recent pattern and trend, it's very likely that what will happen is that the Supreme Court of the United States will rule that there is a right to same-sex marriage in all 50 states. But they'll now have to reckon with an opinion that they didn't see and hadn't encountered before. And that is the eloquent, commonsensical, constitutional, respectful, humble opinion offered by this panel of the Sixth Circuit, offered in particular by the judge who wrote the majority opinion, Judge Jeffrey Sutton.